Greetings and welcome to the AVOD. I'm Count Vargelon.
I'm DM.
And tonight, as usual, I think the closest thing to a standard show for us is watching two found footage movies.
Yeah, I guess.
It's about right, isn't it?
Yeah. We watch a lot of found footage movies.
We watch the most found footage. I mean, it's the genre we love the most. I think we've always been open about that. And we can talk more at length about why we love found footage movies later when we're talking about bad found footage movies and how we can persist in watching these things when so many of them are awful. But that'll be the content of the actual show. Now it's time for the pre-show or random crap segment.
Uh-huh.
We both read books this week?
We did.
Wow.
What's your book?
Oh my God. My book is the autobiography of the kids in the hall.
Oh. My book's a little bit more on topic.
I know, it's just, we're Canadian, so I just wanted to recommend it to people. I think they should check it out, just because we are Canadian and they are integral to the Canadian entertainment experience. I just want to tell everybody that it's a darn good book, very interesting, lots of fun anecdotes, but it is a perfect example of why you should never do an authorized biography.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, it's always going to soft pedal the darker parts of things. And that is my biggest problem with the book, how it just kind of like does not tell the full grittier versions of these stories. Like, Dave Foley is obviously still doesn't feel great about how all of them broke up after the movie and over the filming of Brain Candy. And so the whole Brain Candy part of the book is massively lacking commentary from him, because obviously he just doesn't want to talk about it. But because they need his participation for the rest of it, nobody is going to talk too badly about him. So it's like, you don't really feel like you're getting the full story. For example, I think maybe it's Mark at one point and it says, he refused to do any drag characters in the movie. And they're like, we suspect that that's because his Hollywood management told him if he played any drag characters in the movie, it would hurt his career chances going forward. And so he wanted to put that behind. Exactly, right? That's a pretty shocking thing given the history of the kids in the hall. And you kind of think like, wow, I'd really love to hear Dave Foley's thoughts on Mark saying that. But Dave Foley doesn't say a damn thing about the production of the movie. So you got this thing that's just like hanging out there. And so it feels like half a book in some ways as a consequence, because they always shy away from the rougher stuff. For example, you're familiar with their famous sketch, Dr. Seuss's Bible, right?
I don't think I know that one.
Okay. Well, they did a thing about that it tells the Passion of the Christ by Dr. Seuss. It's really good. Like, it's a really good sketch. And you can just look this up online. And the thing is, so they like, the only reference to it is like they talk about, you know, their process. And they mentioned that the CBC found it controversial. But they could completely leave out of the book that the CBC refused to air the sketch. And so as a consequence, they filmed and aired a gibberish sketch that makes no sense, that has no plot, no characters, barely any jokes. It's just them yammering at the camera for, you know, 2 minutes, which is the length of the other sketch they were replacing. And it is utter gibberish. And as a kid, I always wondered, what's going on with this complete gibberish sketch? And the answer is, they were so pissed off at being censored, they just put gibberish on television and said, suck it, CBC.
Mm-hmm.
But that story is completely missing. No mention of the gibberish sketch exists in the book. And I'm like, you're missing a lot of key stuff here, guys. And it's hurting the book. Like, there's lots of really fun stories, especially about the early days. But then when they get into all the stuff where the drama was in show production, it gets weirdly quiet. And it's too bad, because otherwise it's a pretty good book. Oh, written by Mike Myers' brother.
Well, he needs a job since Sears closed, so.
What?
Mike Myers' brother worked for Sears.
I didn't know that.
Maybe as another brother?
Might be another. I don't know. I had never heard that in my life.
Oh, yeah, he was in an ad.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
God, okay. Well, maybe it's the same brother. Maybe it's a different brother. I don't know. But anyway, Autobiography of the Kids in the Hall. There are bad parts, but definitely worth checking out.
Cool.
All right, next up.
My book?
Yes.
It sounds like you forgot that I had a book to talk
about. No, I was just hoping you would jump right in. Sorry.
All right. So
you also read a book, DM. Yeah. Would you kindly tell me what that book was?
I read a book called A God in the Shed by J.F. Dubow. It's in English. He has a French name, but it's an English book. And it's interesting because he's a Canadian writer and it's set in a fictional Eastern township town called St. Ferdinand.
Okay.
So I just thought that was interesting because there isn't a lot of Canadian horror out there to begin with.
No, and let alone set in what, when you say Eastern township, exactly where?
It's Quebec. The Eastern townships are part of Quebec.
Okay. Yeah. I assumed as much, but I didn't want to guess.
Yeah. So it was pretty good. Like it has this great build up and then it kind of levels off.
Oh.
And it ends weirdly.
Oh, that's the worst.
So I think there's a sequel. Well, there has to be.
Given the way it ends?
Given the way it ends. And I believe it is or was being adapted.
Oh, cool.
For TV. And I'm like, I can see this would make a really good TV show.
Nice. All right.
So
is this like a really recent book or is it one of the situations where this deal might have fallen through?
No, I think the book is fairly recent. I don't have it in front of me, but I think the book is actually pretty recent. So this deal could still be happening.
That sounds awesome because I'm and it is, I should have asked, optioned by Canadians or optioned by real TV people?
That's mean.
It's so mean. There's plenty of good Canadian television. I was being mean for being mean's sake. I'm
pretty sure it's not Canadian. All right. I actually don't know. Again, something I probably should have looked up before I started talking about it, but.
That's just, you know.
I don't know.
No, I'm just a bitter jerk. There's plenty of good Canadian television. It's just, it tends to get overshadowed by all of the American television, all of which is filmed here. It gets kind of confusing. All right. And name the author's name again, just in case people want to look it up.
J.F. Dubow.
J.F. Dubow. Gotcha. All right. That sounds very cool. All right. So next up, I just want to recommend a documentary. I'm not going to talk a lot about it because it's super depressing, but I thought it was an incredibly high quality documentary that everyone who wants to be super depressed can look up. It's on HBO and it's the documentary about the Larry Nassar scandal, that horrible, child molester who was an Olympic coach. I know it's really hard to watch. It's really brutal. I'm not saying anybody should watch it, but if you want to watch a fantastic documentary on the subject that does an incredible job, this is the documentary for you. It's wee doggy. It's really, really, really good. But I think it's called At the Heart of Gold. And it's just an amazing story about, you know, institutional neglect and, you know, child molestation. So it's a nice companion piece to all those horrible documentaries about the Catholic Church.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, it's true, but that didn't sound good. And now I understand that as I said it. All right. So be sure to check that out. Or maybe not.
Or not.
Or not. Depends how depressed you want to be for the rest of the week. Next up we have.
We have a list.
I love it when that happens.
I know. Okay, so this week's list, which was a tough choice because
we had it was a real tough
few
situation.
Options to choose from. So we're going with 13 lesser known fan footage films.
Ooh, I can't wait to find it. I hope both of the movies we're talking about this week is on it. are on it.
Guarantee you that they're not.
When is this list from, and where is it from?
Okay, this list is from Dread Central, which...
They're really hit and miss.
We know, yeah. It is from January 15, 2018.
Oh, okay. So yeah, only a year old.
Yeah.
That's not terrible.
All right, so we're counting down from 13.
All right.
Number 13, The Borderlands. Also called Final Prayer.
Why is that familiar to me?
Because we've seen it.
That would be why. Okay. I mean, I'm sure if you started telling me about the plot, which you're about to, I'll remember it, but the title is only dimly familiar.
It's the priest and like this religious guy and a cameraman, and they're filming weird events at a church. I think the church is haunted.
Okay, yeah, alright, yeah.
And it turns out there's something else going on with this church.
Something great going on with the church?
Yes.
I'm not gonna spoil what it is. We talked about it here on the show. Y'all really need to watch this movie. It goes to some interesting places, and that's
sure
all
does.
We're gonna say. It is a legit surprise. How often do the two of us get surprised at a movie?
Yeah, it's a rare occurrence. So yeah, when it happens,
really goes there. Yeah,
and it's exciting and fun. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Check this one out. Borderlands, totally worth it. Yeah. Yeah. All right, next up,
number 12, Afflicted.
Oh, Afflicted. That's the one about the guy who's touring Europe with brain cancer and becomes a vampire. Yeah, well, we already covered this on the show. Check out our episode on that if you want to hear our thoughts on that. A movie we also kind of enjoyed. Yeah, I mean, it had its problems, but it wasn't terrible.
Yeah. Like,
all right.
Okay, number 11. I have not seen this. Rorschach.
I haven't seen that either.
It says here, by all logic, Rorschach should have been a movie that did nothing special. Following a pair of paranormal investigators looking into a single mother and her daughter's haunting. It's the stock standard setup to a forgettable found footage movie. It's even got a creepy doll, just in case plain ghosts were unoriginal enough.
So mean.
Watch the guy who wrote this, watched it on YouTube.
Okay.
And for minute one, you can tell these are amateurs with no budget.
You know, they were supposed to be complimenting this movie.
So why is it on the list?
Please.
Blah, 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 blah. Rorschach manages to feel incredibly real. The haunting is subtle with small things like scratching at the walls and sweaters falling off chairs. Shit never goes full crazy. And even during the film's climax, most the ghost does is slam some doors. That doesn't sound...
You're not really selling this movie very hard, guys. Oh, okay, sure. What the hell, Dread Central. It's a movie where almost nothing happens, but, you know, we're putting on this list of, you know, obscure movies we absolutely have to check out. Do we, though? Do we absolutely have to check out this one? All right, go.
Pretend they're watching.
Oh.
I like this movie.
Yeah, it's a fun movie. Again, we've covered a lot of these on the show. Yeah. It seems like we're the real experts in found footage horror. Sorry. I couldn't say that with a straight face. It is true, though. All right. Okay. So, next up.
Number 9, Marble Hornets.
Oh, I still want to see that.
It's so long.
I know. It's like 3.5 hours.
92 episodes.
Oh, God.
That's a lot. That's a really big commitment.
It is. And, you know, the Slenderman movie came and went and nobody cared. Yeah. So it's like Slenderman missed its moment by waiting 10 years to make that movie. But,
Well, Hearts Will Art, they were all over it back in 2009 and this went on until 2015.
Yeah.
Slenderman, the movie, I mean, they should have made that movie 10 years ago.
Yeah. But hey, at least they made Marble Hornets. A lot of people seem to like it. We may see it someday, but it's just so not a priority for us.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's such a time commitment for something that seems like such a strange conceptual experiment. Yeah. All right. So next up.
Number 8. I don't understand why this movie keeps popping up on these lists.
Okay.
The Poughkeepsie Tapes.
Such a garbage movie.
It's a terrible movie.
No, it is a movie that is, and this is true, only exists on these lists because it's hard to find, and that gives it a cachet.
No,
because it was never... Oh, no, I didn't say it was good. I'm saying for people who don't know what good is, something being obscure and hard to find makes it seem alluring. Like, it's literally... These people think it's good because they had a hard time getting to see it. I honestly believe that. that is how shallow their opinions in movies is. No, it's terrible. Like, it is really a terrible film. We cannot, like, these guys, just because those two directors tried specifically to screw me financially one time, doesn't mean I held a grudge. It's actually a bad movie. I just want to give you that, I want to give you that full disclosure thing. I also don't like them as people, but it is a bad movie.
Right.
You can listen to our episode about the Poughkeepsie tapes to find out why.
Moving right along, we have number 7, Savage Land.
Have we seen this?
We have not seen this, and I think I want to, because instead of instead of moving images, it's still images.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Styled like a crime documentary, the pictures tell the story of a horrifying attack by unknown forces on a small Arizona border town.
Oh, nice.
The official story is that the sole survivor, an illegal immigrant and amateur photographer, went on a killing spree and murdered the whole town. The story that his pictures tell is quite different.
Yay! We've often talked here about how we consider mockumentaries to be like the more evolved and better version of found footage.
Yeah.
And we like the authorial statements that you have to make in a mockumentary as opposed to found footage. And there is a huge amount of overlap because mockumentaries will often feature found footage elements. But there's nothing better than a great mockumentary. The best found footage movies we've ever seen haven't been as good as the best mockumentaries we've ever seen.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Next up.
Number 6, Noroi the Curse.
I don't think I've heard of this.
This is a Japanese movie.
Ooh. Japanese found footage. As long as it's better than Japanese Paranormal Activity, I'm sold. Remember how bad that was? Remember how bad Japanese Paranormal Activity was?
I didn't watch that.
Oh no, I watched it alone and I just told you about it.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. It was so bad. Oh. Such trash. But anyway, what is Noroi?
It says here, it avoids pretty much every single cliche you've come to expect from found footage.
Ooh.
Devoid of jump scares, the slow burn relies on atmosphere and storytelling. Oh, okay.
Huh. Okay. Well, something to think about.
Yeah. Inescapable tension that permeates the film. Well, I mean, that's true for a lot of J-horror. Most found footage movies would rip the blinds aside and have a screaming ghost jump at the screen. Noroi is content to just let you stare and try to make out its figure while the real monster slowly sneaks up behind you.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
All right.
Noroi, something to keep our eyes out for.
Number 5, WFNU Halloween Special. We've seen this.
Yeah, it's garbage.
It's not great.
No, it really wasn't. It is... I mean, if you ever want to watch bad Ghost Watch, here it is.
Right. Like,
what if Ghost Watch wasn't very good, but people were super complimentary towards it anyway?
That's what this is.
That's exactly what this is. No, it just wasn't good at all. I mean, it's, oh God. I mean, and the thing is, they were so proud of themselves for doing the old timey commercials and the interstitials and and getting everyone's clothes right. And like, they did it all, but like the actual core story they're telling just isn't an interesting or good one. And that kind of kills it for me.
Yeah. No, agreed.
All right. Next up.
Number 4, Dark Secrets.
Ooh.
Okay. This sounds great. We gotta track this down.
Maybe next week we want, oh no, wait, it's all Shark Week next week, but Dark Secrets. And what was the one about the border town?
Savage Land.
Savage Land, okay.
Wait. Don't say anything yet because Dark Secrets is actually a 10-episode series.
Oh. Tell me more.
Okay, the premise is that during a demolition of an abandoned industrial building, a locked door is found in the basement. Inside is an archive of all sorts of strange paranormal events collected by an unknown individual. Building on these files, the show interviews various witnesses and experts to try to get the whole story.
That sounds like, so is it one big plot or is it like an anthology?
I don't know.
This sounds like a lot of fun.
I know, right? Sounds great.
Yeah, okay.
This sounds right up our alley.
Yeah, I could totally see us checking that one out. So yeah, yep. Dark Secrets, here we go.
Dark Secrets. All right. File that one away. We gotta track it down.
Okay, Dark Secrets, done.
Okay, number 3, and I don't know why this isn't number 1, Ghost Watch.
Yeah, Ghost Watch, obviously.
Yeah.
Ghostwatch is, I mean, I want to hear what Dread Central has to say about Ghostwatch, but Ghostwatch is obviously the best mockumentary ever made. Mm-hmm. Okay.
What Number two.
Oh, no, oh, just tell me what they, I do actually want to hear what they have to say.
Oh,
I've been sarcastic about them in the past, but I am curious.
Style to emulate a live VC broadcast. Ghostwatch follows a group of reporters. Do they know that it's actually the Crime Watch people?
No, they don't. They don't know that it's the actual real celebrities who might have been on Crime Watch and were, you know, like fixtures on people's TV screens.
Yeah.
All
okay.
playing themselves.
Yes. Okay. Follows a group of reporters as they document the haunting of a single mother and her two daughters. Handed by a ghost they call Pipes, the otherworldly assaults steadily escalate as the night continues. Unlike most other fan footage films, it doesn't just stick with the camera crew the whole time. Instead, switching between the studio footage and the crew at the house. The effect is quite convincing, enough so that it caused a War of the Worlds style panic when it first aired. I learned something interesting about that the other day. It's reported that the BBC switchboard lit up with people trying to call into the live program, and there are actual reported cases of PTSD.
Oh my God! Oh, I love it so much.
Traumatized by the program.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe they don't realize that these are like the actual BBC personalities from Crime Watch, and that's why people thought it was real.
Yeah, like they're all real people. Like these are all super real people who, even if they're not, I mean, for example, like one of them is not from Crime Watch. One of them is like one of the guy, like a kids TV show presenter, and he's also from Red Dwarf. But it's like they're all like super famous people and the kind of people who would be on a Halloween special, right? And that's what makes it so perfect. You know, mm-hmm. The fact that it's like, even if it's not always the exact Crime Watch people, but it's like, they're all super famous people who would show up on this exact kind of show. So it's kind of amazing that they were able to do it with the real people. And that's why, and the thing is, I'm sad that it's like, the farther you get away from it, the less likely people are to know about that part of it. You know?
Yeah, cause that's like, really, like that's a big part of
what makes it so authentic.
I mean, it's great all on its own, even if you watch it like we did.
Yeah.
You know, not in 1992 while it aired, but sometime in the 2000s.
Yeah, sometime in the 2000s, you know, on a computer screen, not on Halloween.
Yeah.
But yeah, but it's still amazing in any event.
It is. And the whole War of the Worlds thing I found out, nobody actually thought War of the Worlds was real.
Nope. That one I did find out.
It's actually, like, that's the hoax surrounding War of the Worlds is that people thought it was, the hoax is that we believe people thought it was real.
Yeah.
That didn't actually happen at the time.
I know. It makes me so sad. Like, this whole story we've all heard. And then the weird part is, so my whole life, I had heard that there were panic and people thought that it was real, right?
Yeah.
So then I actually, you know, one Halloween, it showed up on a website, the whole unedited broadcast. And so I turned it on, right? And I listened to it, and it starts with Orson Welles announcing the Mercury Players production of War of the Worlds, the HG, an adaptation, the HG Wells story. And we're going to format it. And then, so you got the 10 minutes of the alien attack that broadcasted as a broadcast. But then after that 10 minutes, it's just a standard, like, radio play of the rest of the book.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, no. And as I listened to it, I'm like, no one could have thought this was real. And then later I found out that no one did think it was real.
Yeah.
That's just a lie we were told.
Yeah.
So disappointing.
So we are the suckers.
We were always the suckers.
It was us the whole time.
What a twist. All right.
Are you ready for number two?
Please. Oh, wait. Is it Lake Mungo?
It is Lake Mungo.
Yeah! Woo! I mean, obviously one and two are Ghostwatch and Lake Mungo, but I'm so glad that our ceaseless pushing of Lake Mungo is finally making that movie catch on. You're welcome, makers of Lake Mungo.
It's
You're
all
welcome.
Us.
It's 100% us, and you know it.
Right. Okay, so number one, I haven't seen this. I don't know if you've seen it. The Tunnel.
I have not seen The Tunnel. What is it about? Okay.
It's an Australian movie. The tunnel follows an Australian news crew as they investigate a series of abandoned railway tunnels that have been mysteriously cordoned off by the government.
That sounds like a ton of fun. And if these guys, who are smart enough to put Ghost Watch and Lake Mungo at the very top of their list, think this one is better? Like, we've had our problems with the authors at Dread Central in the past, but I think we now owe it to them to check out the tunnel.
Okay, but lest you forget, Poughkeepsie Tapes is on
this. Is also, yeah, but 2 and 3 were Ghost Watch and...
Yeah.
Like, that's not nothing. I don't think, I'm not suddenly saying they're great, but that's not nothing that they put Ghost Watch and Poughkeepsie, and, sorry, now you got me thinking about it, and Lake Mungo right at the top. So yeah, okay, like, there's a good chance that these are going to be worth checking out. So we're at least open to it. I think, is that fair? We're at least open to it?
That's fair.
All right. Cool. So, yeah, decent list at the end there. We had some suspicions, but, you know what? They've got 2 things we want to check out. And now, looking at it, we've got, you know, like a really, really highly recommended one that might be worth checking out. If you've seen the tunnel, viewer, maybe just let us know if, they're full of it. Just, if you can save us some time. Anyway, let's move on to the big question. Are they still making found footage movies?
They might be. I wouldn't know because this week's upcoming horror movie is not a found footage movie.
Oh.
It's called Ready or Not.
Oh, an adaptation of the global TV show from the 90s, doubtless.
A bride's wedding night takes a sinister turn when her eccentric new in-laws force her to take part in a terrifying game.
Oh.
Leave her alone. She just got married.
I know, but then part of the family introduction is to do a ridiculous, you know, would you rather type situation that ends in human sacrifice, as is always the case in these movies.
Not after someone just got married.
I know, no. Wait a year. It's fine.
Save that shit for another time.
An anniversary, perhaps, or Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
Sometime you're going to be getting together anyway.
Yeah. Not her wedding night. Fuck.
Wow.
Okay. Well, it just, yeah.
Like, and who is this from?
Well.
Oh no.
This is, okay. Writer, Guy Busick and Ryan Murphy. Director, Matt Bettinelli-Olpin and Tyler Gillett?
Gillette.
But
wait, did you say Ryan Murphy as in, like, the TV guy from American Horror Story?
Maybe.
Or possibly a different Ryan Murphy.
I have no idea. All I can tell you is that the directors are YouTube personalities.
Ooh.
Also known as Radio Silence. And have helmed a segment in the VHS anthology as well as Southbound.
No, Southbound is trash.
And is not good.
Southbound was such... Oh, which segment?
I don't know. It doesn't say.
Oh, by the way, then it's got to be the worst one or else they would have announced. Then it would have been like, at least we weren't that one, is what they would have said.
Well, they didn't... For VHS, though, they also didn't name the segment.
Oh, yeah, I guess they didn't there either. Wouldn't it be great if these are like the guys responsible for the worst one of both? Like, if they were responsible for both the framing device in VHS. That's right, the framing device was the worst part of VHS. And there's some bad parts of VHS. That's how bad that framing device was. And then, what was the worst part of Southbound? The guy looking for his sister in the hell bar?
No, that wasn't the worst one.
No, that's pretty bad.
They're all really bad. I honestly don't remember a lot about it. There was an alien one.
The one where, like, the girls with the cult. Like, hang out with the cult and they get brainwashed. The one where the guy hits the girl and then it just gets dumber and dumber. Oh.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. It's not a good movie, is the point. And none of the segments were any good. Southbound. Yeah. Don't watch it. All right, yeah, so that is definitely something we're not going to be checking out.
Nope.
But if you want to, it's called, I've already forgotten the title.
Ready or Not.
Ready or Not.
Ready or Not. I don't remember the rest of the words of that song.
It's okay. Totally fine. No one's asking you to. It's available on YouTube, I'm sure. All right. So let's do this thing. We actually did watch two found footage movies this week. Neither of them are mockumentaries. They are both legit found footage. One of them is weirdly dishonest. Like, they try to talk about the concept at the beginning, but we'll get there. Like, how do I put this? They make a claim at the start of the movie that is not borne out by the film and like how the film is structured. And it's weird that it's like the film is going out of its way to not credit an author with what we're watching, but then it's still authorial choices are being made. So it's very strange. But you know what? I don't know what we're talking about. That's the movie we're talking about second. Start us off.
All right. Our first movie tonight is called Blackwood Evil. Ooh. A woman who is either a new TV reporter or is auditioning to be a TV reporter heads out to a haunted house to document the weirdness.
Ooh.
And I told you, you had to watch this.
It's so slow.
In real time.
It's so slow. Oh, okay.
How much did you hate her on a scale of 1 to 10?
She's absolutely the worst.
Like 11?
Well, the thing is, do you know what I think you can guess what my honest reaction to this movie was, which is, it's quite simply, I take back everything bad I ever said about the Blair Witch Project. I rescind all of it. Because this movie, oh my god. Well, I mean, 100%. Like, it is clearly a film made by people who said, wow, look at all the money they made making the Blair Witch Project, and they spent no money making that. I bet we could do that. And then the answer was, why can't we do that? Because you don't have any talent.
Because you don't know what you're doing.
Because you're terrible at this.
Yeah.
Oh god, alright, so yes.
Like, terrible in every conceivable way.
Yeah.
So,
it does nothing right.
So maybe she's a TV reporter or she just wants to be. Who knows? So they do the thing where they travel around before they go to the haunted house to like set the scene and give you the background.
Yeah.
And they go to, and she has a cameraman with her who is presumably like a professional cameraman.
Well, you wouldn't base it, you wouldn't say that based on his actions in the film.
Well, this is what I'm saying. So at one point they go to a cemetery. So she can talk about the history of the area.
And we do hear a nicely creepy story about everybody in town getting killed one time.
We do, but where they choose to stand, their car is in the background with the door open.
Oh yeah, no, it's terrible framing for a shot.
And the shadows are all over the place, and it's just like, I don't understand why you couldn't just stand somewhere else so you didn't get the fucking car in the shot.
No, and literally, step 5 feet to the right, cameraman moves 10 feet to the right, boom, you're done.
Like, right, it's like, well, we really want this one grave in the shot. Like, why? There's nothing special that one.
Well, no, it's a pretty, in their defense, it is a pretty big grave.
It's a big, yeah, it's got like, that's the largest grave marker, I think, in the cemetery.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, you should be better at this.
I know, especially if your character is a professional news cameraman.
Not really selling me on the professionalism.
Maybe just wants to be. But even if you just want to be, you gotta be better at it than this guy.
Yeah.
Like, you totally do.
She's terrible on camera. She keeps flubbing her lines. She can't get her story straight. She's terrible. Not diction. What's the word I'm looking for?
Elocution.
Presentation. Yeah.
That too.
All of it.
She has no idea how to play to the camera. She has no idea how to properly hit the parts of lines. As you say, she's constantly flubbing it and then like saying, we'll cut away and restart. Like, you're just so bad at your job. Like, what you could have done was just like shot this a bunch of times and used the best take. This isn't really happening, you know? Yeah. You don't have to show us the behind the scenes process because we're not watching the full length of the tape. There are edits in this movie. And so, like, edit some of the bad stuff out of it, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
that would have been a good choice.
Yeah. Ugh. We should be seeing something even if you're going to leave in the mistakes, it still needs to be more polished than what it is.
Oh, totally. Oh no, absolutely. But I mean, there's not a good reason. Like, you could leave in one or two mistakes just to show that, like, oh, this is like, she's getting warmed up, blah, 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 blah. But at some point, there are diminishing returns to that concept.
Right. And because the whole idea, I think, is like the sheriff's department edited this tape.
Yeah, of course. Cause again, we cut between different cameras.
Why would
in
they
the film?
Why would
they leave all of this, her flubbing lines in?
Like, unless this is sense. The best take. This is as good as it gets, people.
Oh god, what a terrible idea. No, but it's like she redoes lines within the film. She's redoing lines. Well, then cut out the part where she didn't have to, like, where she's doing the line successfully.
Right, and just leave the one where the guy drives up and tells him to fuck off.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I get to be on TV. Okay, I'll talk to you. It's like, yeah, you just told him to leave. You were going to run them out of there. But
apparently he's very, very fame hungry.
I guess. Everybody wants to be on TV.
Apparently. Seems to be the message. Well, that's definitely her
moment. But he doesn't have anything to contribute. Often? He's got nothing to say.
Which is kind of weird in and of itself.
And then they go to the haunted house, which is just like some rundown shack by the side of the road.
So disappointed in the house. Oh my god, I'm so disappointed in the house. Like, come on, guys, we needed something. Like, give us some interesting visual or give us some reason to believe that this house looks like it's been here for 100 years and was the site of a previous horrible massacre. Like, what was the one I was going to say liked so much, but we only had middling opinions about it. You know, the guys who did the haunted house at the old hotel.
Hell House?
Hell House, yes. Wow, how could I not remember Hell House as a title? I am ashamed right now.
That's the second time you've done that too.
I know, it's terrible. Well, it's in my defense, it's such a generic title.
It
goes right out of my head because I want to say, what's that movie about the Hell House? You mean Hell House? No, that can't be it.
No, the other one was called Hell House. Hell House 2?
Technically it was Hell House LLC, but yes. But anyway. No, but it's like a good thing about that movie is they found a location where you're like, yeah, this looks like a legit old place that stuff has gone down in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you buy that location in a way that, like, this house is just so nondescript. Like, there seems to be nothing at all creepy about it. It's just like, yep, there's a house. There's not much furniture in it. Thanks? That's all you got going
for? No, it's just an abandoned house that they got permission to film in. And clearly, it's like a place where kids go to party.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah. that's really all it is. The problem... It's right by the road.
Yes.
Which is a problem for the movie because it's supposed to be secluded and isolated and all of that stuff. But
no, it's literally right next to the road.
Later on in the movie when people are running away, it's like, well, just go to the fucking road.
Yeah. Just
it's right
there. There's a road right there. Just run down the road. Maybe the demons won't catch you. I mean, I don't know how fast they can run. Maybe they can't leave the property. At least put in the effort, you know, take a shot at it.
Yeah.
They're very frustrating characters. It's a very frustrating film.
So they get to the house and the owner is there and she's supposed to have some agreement where he'll just drop off the keys and they can spend the whole night in the house. And he's like, I want to get this over with as quickly as possible. And it's like this endless argument between the two of them. Well, I faxed you this. Well, I didn't get anything and I'm not signing it. This is the agreement. But I faxed you the agreement. This is the agreement. And it goes on like this.
It's like you're watching the worst improv in the world. Where it's like, the thing is, rule one of improv is
don't say no
because that stops a scene dead. And then the other character wants to keep the scene going, so they just have to insist on their thing until you stop saying no over and over again.
Yeah.
So it's like, you can say, don't say no, say, if you want to make the character more complex, add some tension, say, I've had some second thoughts and I want more money for my time. And then you have a negotiation, then you've got a scene. But no, you've just got people arguing about whether or not the paperwork was in order. I think it was. I say it wasn't. This is not a film. I'm not watching a film at this point.
And that's not the only argument between these two people.
I know.
So this guy knows that they're here because they think the house is haunted and they want to film it.
Yeah.
And he's like, this house isn't haunted. It's a waste of my time. I got other better things to do. It's like, then go do them.
Bitch, why are you hanging out here?
No.
And it's not like you're afraid they're going to trash your house. The house is already trash. Why are you going to spend your whole night hanging out with them if you don't care about any of this?
Exactly. Oh, so you can keep fighting. Well, that's great. I'm so glad we're here to see this.
Well, no, and it's what made me appreciate, you know, the Blair Witch Project so much watching this. It's like, say what you will, they don't start fighting until they're a couple of days into this project going badly. Mm-hmm. Like, they joke each other and they tease each other, but they don't start, you know, being dicks to each other until their lives are in danger and they're incredibly frustrated and lashing out. These people have had to spend an hour and a half together, and starting 5 minutes in, they are at each other's throats, and it's impossible to watch.
Yeah, because I hated like, all the of two them of so them much. Are, they're the worst. They're the most aggravating characters.
Oh, completely.
In any movie ever. She's not shrill, but she's got this really aggravating voice, and she's really condescending, and he's just an asshole, and he knows it, and he's doing his utmost to be an even bigger asshole every chance.
And that's the thing. He's an asshole right from jump. From the first moment.
Why are you even engaging? And like, they're trying, then the psychic shows up, and they're gonna have a seance, and he keeps interrupting the reporter's interview with the medium. And he's like, this is taking too long. And she's like, well, if you would stop interrupting, we could get this done. Yeah. And he's like, but it's taking too long. And it just goes on and on like this.
Yep. No, I need every moment of this to be about me. And God damn it.
The reporter doesn't know how to manage him properly. No. And it's
she's in no control of the situation. Yeah. She's in zero control of her situation. It's like, If you're already a reporter, you should be fired. If this is just your dream job, you're terrible at it and you don't deserve to have your dream job. No, she's the worst. She is the worst. He's the worst. It's so infuriating having to spend a whole movie with these people. Thank God the movie is only 80 minutes long. But you see a longer 80 minutes? I don't know.
Exactly. Goodness. So then the cameraman gets involved.
I know.
He's a big guy, but he can't control the asshole either. Like, he's just... Nope. So,
That's exactly what this film needed, by the way. You know, another person yelling. 100% just what this movie needed. Yet another person yelling.
And then,
to be fair, the psychic doesn't yell that much.
No, she doesn't. She's actually the only one who's trying to calm everybody down.
And keep it professional, yeah.
Exactly. And then when weird stuff starts happening in the house, the owner accuses the reporter of hiring people.
I know.
Stop and make noise. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
We're out here, you say, in the middle of nowhere. Do you think someone was like lying in wait and hiding in a cupboard? Like, you're out of the room for 2 seconds, you come back and it's being ghosted up. No, no one had the time to come in, walk in, do that, and leave. That's just a fact. There's no way. Oh God, he's so annoying.
She's like, my grandfather shot himself in that chair you're sitting in. It's like, dude, are you on board with this shit or not?
I know, because you could have said no to this.
Yeah.
Like, you had every opportunity to say no to this, but instead you said yes, and then you just make everyone's lives a living hell the whole time.
Yeah.
No, you're right. It's rare to see a character that infuriating.
Yeah.
And she is just the worst.
He.
Sorry, he is just the worst.
He's also from the
what
worst.
I thought about. She's also the worst, but she's not as bad as him. No, again, the psychic's not too bad. Like, well, she's the psychic's okay.
So the then, okay. I don't know, just some shit happens, and then somebody dies. You're like, thank God.
Yep. And they run out, and then...
The piece was pretty good.
Yes, the,
that.
The human sacrifice thing?
Yes.
Yeah, then they run into the room and there's been a human sacrifice and there doesn't seem to have been time for that to happen.
Yes, I thought that was really well done.
It was impactful, and it's like, it's such a big change. And I mean, there's an obvious cut, but it's, you know, with the shakiness of the cam, it's not that big of a problem. They walk in the next room and she's just, duh. And you know, it's like, you're right, it plays. Like, it really does play because it's such, you're expecting maybe you see somebody with a slit throat, maybe blah, 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 you know, like, but they actually go straight to, no, like, full on human sacrifice has happened in a second while they were out of the room. You're like, okay, like, maybe they got something to say here. And then the rest of the people die in completely dull and anticlimactic fashions.
Yeah, to the point where I think the human sacrifice is kind of where this idea started and ended.
Yeah.
They kind of built their whole movie around that one moment.
Yeah. No, they really did. And it's, I mean, you credit where it's due. It's a good moment.
Yeah.
But is it worth watching the whole movie? Is it worth watching the whole movie to get to that moment? No.
It is not.
It is 100% not. So yeah, fun fact about this movie, it was made in 2000. So when we compared it to early Blair Witch Project ripoffs, you know, and how they must have just seen Blair Witch Project and said, we can do that. It's like accurate to say that that is must have been the origin of this film because it came out
a year
after the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah.
It honestly feels like someone heard about the Blair Witch Project at South by Southwest and they're like, quickly, let's go and do that. You know,
it won't take very long.
Yeah, it won't take very long. We'll just do it over a couple of days.
We can get this done in under an hour and a half.
It would be funny to find out that, like, they didn't do any retakes and they only shot 88 minutes worth of film. What's in the camera? Just call it a movie. Done.
So we should say they do, the name of the town I think is supposed to be Blackwood, but they call it something else at one point.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if you caught this, but there's that card at the start of the movie that explains
what
you're watching. And it's referred to as the New York incident.
Yes, the New York incident. Because it's set in New York. Yeah, because it's set in New York County, Texas.
But it's like, there's no reference to that anywhere.
I know, it's really weird. Why did you put in that title card?
But also, there's a spelling mistake.
Yes!
You saw that?
Thank God you noticed that too! Oh, I thought I was going crazy.
No! Like,
there's a wrong it's and a spelling mistake in the opening title. There are two grammatical errors. In the opening title.
Oh my God.
Oh God, this movie. It's so frustrating. It's so bad. Oh, damn you, Blackwood Evil. So yeah, not worth your time. I think it's fair to say. Definitely fair to say it's not worth their time, right? Like, they don't have to rush out and see Blackwood Evil.
You might want to rush out to avoid seeing it.
Nice. Rush out to avoid seeing Blackwood Evil. next up, we have the first film in the Bad Ben. Are you ready for this? Quadrology.
Quintilogy.
There's five?
Five of them.
I thought there were only four. Oh, no, my God. Five. Wow. All right, go for it.
After buying a house he intends on flipping, a guy chalks up the noises of moving furniture to people breaking into his house. Then he thinks maybe it's a ghost. Too late, he learns it's neither.
All right, so.
I'm not sure what it is, I'll be honest with you.
Maybe that's why they made four more. That's why they made four more.
Some other thing. A bit of both.
Okay, so yeah, Bad Ben. Okay, where to start?
I want to say something nice first before I get into being a dick. I am impressed with what this guy managed to accomplish.
Yeah, it's like a film made by one guy.
Yes.
And it's actually pretty impressive, all of the stuff he pulls off in this movie.
Yes.
Like, there are a lot of, I mean, there are feats of editing, there are lots of good visual effects stuff, like, there's good stuff in this movie. Like, there's good fan footage stuff in this movie. There is a ton of really stupid fan footage stuff in this movie, but there is there are worthwhile scenes to this movie, and I ended up feeling pretty positive about it by the end. Just because it was better than so much of the garbage we watch.
Yes.
Yes.
It's not a good movie.
What this guy
managed to accomplish with the tools that he had is impressive.
Really good. Like, yeah. I know. I think it's absolutely really good. So yeah. So way to go. Thumbs up. Writer director. of Bad Ben, you accomplish something really interesting in Bad Ben.
However,
oof, there's some stuff to talk about. All right. So first off, this is going to sound crazy, right? I don't think this guy knows what house flipping means. Because to flip a house means to buy a bad house
and then
renovate it and then sell it for profit.
Yeah.
He buys a house that is massively undervalued, but is in every other way a perfectly nice, perfectly put together, completely modern home.
Also, he makes the point of saying, not even he, the movie makes a point of stating that this house was bought at a sheriff's sale, but then later on he talks about how the owners couldn't or didn't pay their mortgage, and I'm like, that's a foreclosure.
That which is a different thing than a sheriff's sale.
From a bank, not a sheriff's sale, which is like a police auction.
Yes. It is specifically said he buys at a police auction, and then he has the gall to later be like, why didn't you tell me this was a murder house? I'm like, what? Again, bitch, why did you think you were at a sheriff's sale?
Well, here's the other thing. He's talking to a realtor.
Yes!
You didn't buy the house from a realtor.
No, you bought it at a sheriff's auction!
At a police auction.
Yes!
Nobody has to disclose anything.
No,
it's
but
a police auction!
But more importantly, the fact that you're right, you don't need to disclose anything. You know why this film is on sale by the police. There was a crime there. Or, to be fair, it could have been, like, seized as the proceeds of a criminal enterprise. But there are only two reasons. A crime happened in the house, or it has been seized as
And they don't go to a sheriff's
That's completely
sale.
True, yes. No. It usually has to be, like, there was a brutal murder in the house, and everyone who might be connected is dead.
And no, but even still wouldn't be part of a police auction.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Police auction would only happen if the sheriff's department seized the house because
they seized it.
Yeah, because it was the proceeds of crime. So I don't even know why it's at a sheriff's auction in this movie.
But the thing is, maybe he doesn't understand that houses do go to auction and can buy them the cheap, but it's not
a police auction.
It's like a bank auction.
Yeah, they specifically say the wrong thing right at the beginning of the movie. But in any event, like, I have no sympathy for this character who doesn't for one moment wonder why the house is so cheap.
No.
Like, who buys a house that costs a third of what it should cost and not be like, hey, why does this thing cost a third of what it should cost?
Well, here's the thing.
Why was he able to pick it up for nothing?
There is a TV show that I love to watch in which houses are sold at auction for super cheap. But that's because the houses need to be moved off the property because the property is going to be developed. A new house.
Oh, neat.
So
you jack up the house, you put it on a truck, and you move it to an empty plot of land.
Yes.
Cool. I mean, that's a cool premise for a show. What am I going to do? Lie and say that's not interesting? That's interesting. Yeah.
That's not what's going on with this house, though.
No,
this house
not at all.
Going anywhere.
No, it's not going anywhere. In fact, it's on. They, like, own, 9 acres, he says?
Like a huge piece of land.
It's a huge lot has this completely modern, brand new house on it.
Yeah.
He should be very curious as to why, but it takes him until more than halfway through the movie to inquire at all about the provenance of the house.
Yes.
Which is weird just for the character.
But then the only thing you find out is that the people who lived there died.
Yes.
But you only get the sense that it's an adult couple.
Yeah.
There's never, like, when he's talking to the real estate agent or whoever on the phone, there's no mention of a baby.
No.
But there was a baby in the house.
Yes, there was a baby in the house.
Garbage bag full of bloody baby clothes and a box of knives, and he's like, I'll deal with this later. I'm like, you deal with this now.
What really bothered me about this scene is, oh, I shouldn't touch this. But this might be evidence. Yeah, it might be. Call the cops and have them pick it up. You know, they're not going to mind coming out. They're the ones who just sold you the house, apparently.
They would know that there was a brutal murder that took place there that probably wasn't solved.
I think they're going to be happy to pick up all of this evidence you're offering them.
I'm touching.
Oh my god, dude. You're the worst at this.
He finds a grave in the backyard.
I know! And like, he immediately desecrates it.
But he says, he's like, I can't have this shit here. Potential, it'll scare off potential buyers. I'm like, just tell them it's a pet.
Yeah, tell them a pet died there. Problem solved.
Yeah, you know, well, I think a baby was murdered in this house and then buried out back. Don't tell people that! Lie to them!
They already didn't tell you that there was a couple murdered in the house. You cannot tell the next people that there's a baby buried in the backyard.
Just let those lies snowball.
I know. But the thing that bothered me right up front, right? So they get into the house and he finds, so he is in this only for the money. He has made that 100% clear from the moment we meet him. This is a profit making opportunity. That's not a judgment of him. That is a fact about why he is doing this, right?
Yes.
He makes that 100% clear. So then he's like, ooh, I found this, later, after the scene I'm about to talk about, he's like, ooh, a talking toy from the 60s. This could sell for a good amount on eBay. Ooh, maybe I could sell this lawnmower, this snowblower. This is all turning out, you know, big profits for daddy. But then, right at the start of the frigging, movie, he opens the door. There's a print of a Bible passage on the wall that looks old timey. There's a super ornate cross.
And there is the
Lord's Prayer. There you go. Right. And then there is as he said, the oldest, most ornate Bible he's ever seen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you are a man who wants to turn a profit. And his reaction is, I'll just throw this Bible in the garbage.
Well, he even says, he's like, ooh, I can sell this. And then immediately dumps it in the trash. What are you doing?
Like, do you know how much that Bible is worth?
Don't throw out a Bible.
Yeah, like, generally, don't throw out a Bible. You can give it away. It's fine. There are homes where people will appreciate that Bible.
You shouldn't throw out any book, as far as I'm concerned. No, donate.
Have I burned a book? Yes, but only because it was severely water damaged.
Oh, my dad once burned a book.
Really?
He threw it in the fireplace because it was so bad.
Oh no! Mine was throwing in a fireplace because I had a bunch of books that were damaged in a flood. And so I'm just like, well, guess I'm burning some books. But it was not a Shirley Jackson's The Lottery type situation for me. That's a Simpsons reference. But anyway, but yeah, it's very frustrating because you watch it and you're like, whether or not you're curious about why they had this super ornate old-timey Bible, at least consider selling it. You know, one scene later, we will find out that you love eBay, so...
Yeah.
Maybe at least find out what eBay thinks of this Bible? And this amazing ancient ornate cross they have? It's like, cross in the trash, Bible in the trash. In these politically correct times, you can't have crosses up in a house you're trying to sell, and I'm like,
religion isn't political correctness.
No, it's not. No one is demanding you not be religious.
And he says that, he's like, oh, I gotta take all the religious stuff out of here because it's not politically correct. It's like, that's not what that means.
I mean, yes, we can have a conversation about the inherent sexism in, you know, Judaism and Christianity, but no one is gonna look at the fact that there is a cross on the wall of a house and say, ugh, this offends me. I'm not going to buy this house. Crosses come off walls. But the odds of it are not big, and that's not what political correctness is.
Yes.
Ugh. So frustrating, this movie. But I want to point out that we have just been talking about his poor skills as a businessman up until this point. We haven't even talked about the ghost.
No. This is like the first 10 minutes of the movie.
No. What is wrong with us?
So let's get to the ghost. So it's just like lots of banging in the night. His furniture moves around. But the thing is, so this house is rigged with a very sophisticated security system. Yeah. So it's a ton of security cameras, one of which appears to be across the street.
Somehow,
so you can look at the front of the house all day if you feel like it.
I guess he owns the across the street. It's part of the 9 acres, so it's just weird to stretch a camera all the way over there. But yes, yeah, someone did.
so we could get a shot of the front of the house. But there's this issue where he calls up his tech support and he's like, I can only see the camera for the room that I'm standing in.
Yeah.
And he wants to be able to see all rooms all the time. So yeah. Then there's this, he's told how to make that happen on his app. Mm-hmm. And then we get to see all of the cameras at once.
Yes.
So it's like, this is going to be really interesting if we stick with this.
And but then no, we don't.
Immediately go back to one camera at a time.
Following him.
Following him, or if there's movement detected. But as he said earlier, the camera only cuts after the movement's happened.
Yes.
And the only time we ever get to see the furniture move on its own, which was really cool.
It was very cool.
Immediately after he talks to tech support and he sees the footage of the furniture move on its own because he's convinced that someone's breaking into his house and moving his furniture around.
Yes.
Because that's a weird thing.
Yeah, no, totally. They just break into your house. They bunch all your furniture up in a corner and then they just leave. Then they leave right away. Totally normal thing for punk kids to do. Who said it's not?
Right.
So yeah, he has weird reactions to this. Like he really does have weird reactions to the situation he finds himself in.
But then he like decides that, okay, it is, after he finds the Fisher Price toy, which he says is 75 years old. No, it isn't.
There's no way that's 75 years old.
He's convinced that it's a ghost because he can talk to Ben through the Fisher Price toy.
Yes.
Which then disappears from the movie.
How does it disappear from the movie?
It's because it's convenient for it to do so. So he can't talk to Ben anymore.
So frustrating.
What's going on in the basement? Because there's a locked door in the basement that he can't open and there's scratching sounds that come from behind the door sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's like, spoiler alert,
there's obviously a demon in the basement. We can't be making this any clearer. Well, no, and it's so frustrating because you watch him doing this stuff and you're like, okay, you're a guy, again, who is only in this to make money, who is only in this to turn a profit, and you're already doing a video blog about your pathetic attempts at house flipping. Mm-hmm. And you have stumbled into the best subject for a video blog that has ever happened on Earth.
Yes.
An actual haunting. And you're like, and your response is not, screw house flipping. Let's just start talking to this ghost full time. Like, let's open up a Patreon for communicating with the spirit world.
Well, because he's dumped all of his money into this house. He's got to turn it around. Also,
he can turn that profit by starting the ghost talking Patreon.
Depending on which state you're in, because I think the rules vary state to state.
Yeah.
You have a limited amount of time in which to flip the house. Otherwise, you officially take ownership and you have to start paying taxes or something on the property.
But do you know how much Patreon money he's gonna pick up running the Talking to Ben the Magic Ghost Talker channel?
I don't know if this guy knows about Patreon.
He definitely, again, he's doing a video blog about house flipping. He's gotta be aware of stuff on the internet.
Like, yeah, but
how does he? I'm just saying, the man has stumbled into a situation where a ghost is happy to communicate with him, and his response is not, let's just make this documentary, this mini documentary I'm making all about the ghost. His reaction is trying to bully the ghost out of the house so he can resell it.
Yeah.
Like, dude, burying the lead.
But he's made it very clear he doesn't care about ghosts.
I know!
He's like, I'm not afraid of you. I'm a Christian. I don't give a shit about ghosts. I'm like,
what is wrong with you?
To Christians?
It's not at all. Well, no, technically he does say, you can't hurt me. I'm a Christian. Right, I'm not afraid of ghosts.
I'm not afraid of ghosts. I'm a Christian.
I don't think that's how ghosts work. There's this movie called The Exorcist.
What if it's not a Christian ghost?
It might, you're right, actually, that's a really strong
maybe
point.
Then Christian
it might be a Buddhist ghost. Not.
It could be a Jewish ghost, for all you know.
Yeah, there you go.
Status own rules? I don't know.
There are Dybbuk's, you don't know.
A Dybbuk's not a ghost.
I know, it's just a nice thing to, it's just a nice word to say. Really nice word to say, Dybbuk. But anyway, it's so frustrating, because like, dude, focus on the ghost. This ghost is the most interesting thing to have happened to you in your entire life. And you just want to keep, like, trying to shift this crappy house? What is wrong with you?
So, so there's a bad smell coming from the attic.
Yeah.
And he goes to investigate, and he finds what he identifies as a satanic altar.
Yep.
I'm not entirely sure what it is. And there's a neat effect with the flame going out.
Yep.
Or sorry, not going out. Igniting.
Igniting, yeah.
And then he's like, oh, nuts to you, satanic altar, and like dumps it all in a shopping bag.
Yep.
But the smell doesn't go away. And then he goes
then,
to the attic and it's covered in ashes.
Yep, there's, basically, presumably a character was cremated and that's a person's ashes, I guess. And the ghost starts writing messages in the ashes. And he gets it on film, and instead of, again, conversing with the ghost, asking what's going on, asking for an explanation of the basement, who is Ben? Like, the thing is, if you had to do that with yes or no questions, it would take forever. But now the ghost is showing off that the ghost can just write words, and he is monstrously incurious.
It's hilarious, like, ghost is just going out of his way to communicate with this guy.
I know. Like,
listen to me. Jesus.
It almost becomes parody. The fact that this ghost keeps trying to give this guy information and talk to this guy, and he's like, I'm not hearing of it. Get out of my house. I've got a house to sell. What is wrong with this guy?
So, like, so the ghost, never Ben, I don't know who, writes in the ashes, not your home. It's like,
yep. Okay, that's true.
All right. And the guy's like, yeah, well, I paid for it, so.
I
know. Shit, like, that's the end of that. I think maybe
that's not what the ghost meant?
I don't know what the ghost, to be perfectly honest. Also,
I don't know exactly, but yeah.
Supposed to be a baby.
Well, it's.
No, he's a child.
It's because tough. He's a child. No, yeah, he finds a drawing. You're right. It's not a baby. He finds a drawing by the child. So Ben was at least 4 or something. 4 or 5. Because he's drawn a picture of him, his mother, his father, and Bad Ben. Which is the demonic version of him, and he lives in the basement.
Or just his evil twin.
And that's Ben, Bad Ben's ashes. I don't know. The point is, the film is not interested in telling us. To find out, you'll have to watch Bad Ben 2, Steelmanville Row. And then Bad Men 2.
Yes.
Yeah, the prequel. And then Bad Ben 3, the final chapter. And then 2 more Bad Ben movies.
Bad Ben, then Steelmanville Road, then Batter Ben, then, I don't remember what the 4th one's called, then Crescent Moon Clown.
Hold on. Oh, wait. Stop. I need you to stop.
Yeah.
Did you just say Crescent Moon Clown?
Dead.
We are so watching the rest of this series. What the hell are you doing? So yeah, like, just as you say, as an accomplishment of filmmaking, we gotta tip our cap.
It is called the Mandela Effect, but I think they meant Mandala. And it's in, like, I think an alternate universe or parallel universes, parallel dimensions.
Wait. So we're going to go into the alternate. Oh my God. Are we going to like go back and forth to alternate dimensional versions of what happened in the first 3 movies?
I think it's just the first one.
Oh, okay. Well, that's disappointing.
I think it's alternate versions of the first movie or he's trapped in a loop.
Either way, that sounds interesting. Although, by the way, if you want to remake your own movie because you did a bad job the first time, having, like, the thing be, there are infinite other dimensions. In some other dimensions, the story of Bad Ben didn't go quite the way you remember. Let's check in on one of those. Like, that is the greatest excuse anyone has ever come up with to do a remake within a series.
Well, we fucked it up the first time, so back to the drawing board.
Exactly. And we'll just say it's another dimension. There. Problem solved. It's kind of a great idea, and if that's what they were going for, I gotta say, I really respect their decision.
Anyway, so this guy, he does his own version of what's either supposed to be an exorcism or a cleansing.
Yep.
assumes that everything's hunky-dory. And then he gets beaten up by the ghost.
Yep, the ghost just comes into his room and beats him up.
Beats him up.
And he still won't leave.
And then I think after that, that's when he decides, I'm going to break down the door in the basement. Because he knows, because when the furniture moves, it's to block him from going into the basement.
Yeah.
He's like, what's in the basement? Why don't you want me to go into the basement? It's like, maybe you should heed the ghost's warning and stay the fuck out of the basement.
The ghost couldn't be clearer about how important it is to not go into the basement. Like, the ghost isn't clear about a lot of stuff. The ghost is very nebulous a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But it is very clear about this whole basement situation. Don't go in the basement, buddy! And so, he goes into the basement!
He goes into the basement, and it gets weird.
It gets really weird.
And then it ends. And that's the end of the movie.
Yeah. And the thing is, and this is what kind of frustrated me, that, like, they specifically say that all 14 cameras have been filming for the whole week over which the movie takes place. Like, except we are told that.
Yes.
Right? It's not just the room he's in. It's all the cameras are always filming.
But we only see either the room he's in or the room the ghost is in.
Yes, exactly. So someone has edited this film together.
But
right?
It's made clear at the start of the movie that this has not been edited in any way.
Yes.
So,
and I'm like,
where he gets all the cameras to show up on his screen at one time is pointless because immediately after that it goes back to
just following either the ghost or him.
Yes.
And the frustrating part is it's like it's never clear what the rules are around that, because sometimes they will show you just after the ghost is doing something off using the rules that the motion camera only picks up just after something has happened, but sometimes we just watch the ghost doing stuff. And again, authorial choices are being made by someone, and it's weird that the film goes out of its way to insist they're not.
No, the only cameras that pick up the ghost do, oh no, because doors open and close, because he also has his phone. He films a lot of this on his phone as well.
Yes.
And we are cutting between his phone and the cameras in the house. Which is weird because, yeah, somebody had to edit that together.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Like, we're editing between his phone footage and the footage that is being recorded at the offsite, which they establish in, like, a couple of scenes into the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's just so frustrating, this character who is, how are you this blasé about having better evidence of a haunting than anyone in history has ever had?
Yeah.
Like, you've got a ghost talking to you, and you don't care at all. Honestly, that is the part that made it feel like a comedy. Like, it felt like this was a parody of a Paranormal Activity movie. I'm just like a guy who, I don't care about your mythology about a demon who has to impregnate a blah. I need to sell this house.
I need to sell this goddamn house.
You don't understand what my tax situation is, okay?
But then
if I don't sell this
house
by the end of the quarter, I'm done.
I'm sunk. That's it for me.
Yeah.
I have to move back home. But, you know, and at the end, the ghost turns out to be a big selling point.
Yes. And it
becomes
that kids in the
hall. People pay a premium for a haunted house.
It becomes that kids in the hall sketch where the guy buys a house with a demon in it. Very good sketch, by the way.
Add that to our list. After two baths, one body.
Two baths, one body. Okay, after two baths, one body, parody of Bad Ben that really focuses in laser-like on the real estate aspect of the story.
It could be like a whole real estate trilogy. We just need a third one.
Oh my god, you're totally right. Oh, wow. And can I just say something that was very fun? We watched both these movies on Prime Video.
Mm-hmm.
And they are both put out by the same distributor.
Yes! I wasn't going crazy.
And this is true. POV Films.
Yes.
A distributor that only puts out found footage horror movies. That's amazing!
I'm amazed that they're still around between 2000 and 2016.
They're not. No, no. They just they recently just bought the rights to the 2000 movie. No. No, they have not been putting out found footage horror that whole time.
Okay.
That would have been great, but no, that's not what's happening here. Oh my god. But yeah, I was just so happy that it's like, it's our favorite genre, and there's a distributor out there just working in that genre. I'm so excited. We should go to them with our parody of Bad Ben. You're like, do you want to make a hilarious parody horror movie of Bad Ben? And they'll be like,
oh, but we'll distribute it for you.
Yes.
Cause that's what we do. We're distributors.
We're not producers. We're just distributors. If you have a movie, you can bring it to us. But
if it's like, finished, yeah.
It's finished.
Take a look.
Not giving you money.
Yeah. You're on your own.
Unless you've got a finished film. You want to go make that, fine. We'll take a look at it when it's done. Then maybe. I just kind of love that there's a distributor out there who's just doing found footage horror. Way to go. Like, seriously, way to go, POV horror. Mm. So consider checking back here. We might actually check back in with the Bad Ben series.
Just so you can get to the fifth one.
Well, I mean, how? How are there five of these?
I don't know.
Although, unless it gets more and more just about real estate every time. Like, what if it's just, it stops being about ghosts entirely at some point, and is just about house flipping? Like, as you say, the point becomes it's like the ghosts are barely factoring into the plot at all. And it escalates every time how bad the ghost situation is and how much people are ignoring it to focus on selling houses. Where it's like, we need like a tarp or sod to cover up this gaping hellmouth in the front yard. With rings of demons dancing around it. The open house is in half an hour! Figure out what kind of goat they want sacrificed and just get it done!
I would watch that.
I would watch the hell out of that movie. Alright, so that was Bad Ben. That was our check-in with the offerings of POV horror, which you might be hearing more about from us.
I think it's POV Films, isn't it?
POV Films, yes. POV Films. Who even have a title card that is like a ripoff of the Blair Witch Project.
Yep.
So, like, they know what they're selling, and they're selling it well?
No, they're selling it, so.
Well, they're selling it whether it's well or not.
Yeah.
Alright, so I guess that's that. At the end of the show here, do you have any narcissism you would like to watch?
Just more episodes of Chicks and Dicks and Tune of Crime for all your romance and true crime needs.
Ooh, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Exclusive, I will have you know.
Pretty badass. I would suggest that if you're looking for video game content, that's what the Hidden Object Guru channel is for. And of course, for all your Criminal Minds needs, there's Vargelon.com and the Profiling Criminal Minds podcast, which is now, well into season two of the episodes, although all the way through season five have been recorded and pre-posted. So there will be no missed weeks at the Profiling Criminal Minds podcast.
Excellent.
I think that's a selling point.
You can visit the AVODs blog at theavod.com. You can leave us a comment there. Tell us about your least favorite found footage horror movie about ghosts and haunted houses. You can send us an email at theavod@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
And I'm going to encourage you to do all of those things. So until next, I'm going to encourage you to do all of those things. I know, it's rough.
This is like
I apologize.
A recurring issue with you now.
It is really become a serious issue. Until next time, I've been Count Vargelon.
I've been DM.
Thanks for watching and have yourselves a great evening.
Good night.